Welcome to today's episode of CLCI Live, brought to you by the award-winning and ICF-accredited school, Certified Life Coach Institute. Sit back, relax, and enjoy today's episode.
Hello. Welcome to Certified Life Coach Institute Live, and we're going chaotic today.
Yes. Chaos reigns.
Are you chaotic neutral or chaotic?
chaotic
good.
Mm-hmm. Do you build?
For all the D&D nerds out there, that was for all the D&D nerds. So before we start, Anthony, why don't you tell people what they should do?
Oh, you should like, subscribe, share, comment, especially comment. We love interacting with our guests and answering your questions regarding the lives. We answer every single person's comments, no matter what. How chaotic it is. And this wraps up part four of our productivity series for January. Before, we talked about productive procrastination, productive complaining, productive something else, I forgot.
Play.
Productive play, and now we're talking about productive chaos and how our coaching clients can utilize chaos in their lives for some productive end or means. So to get us started, what is chaos to you guys? What's a little bit of chaos in your life?
I don't know. Today for me seemed a little chaotic. It's just having too much to do and... I don't know, maybe my focus gets less.
Chaos feels like overwhelm to me.
Yeah.
I think chaos and overwhelm are linked. Like when I got a lot of things going on and not, you know, when it's just like, when it feels like this, that is what to me.
Bit with chaos. Chaos is rarely underwhelming, I guess, in my opinion.
Go ahead.
Oh, I was going to just say, Kayla, I for some reason thought of like maybe a messy house is underwhelming and chaotic. It's kind of just left there to its own device and you'll get to it whenever. But I think mostly we're talking about the kind of chaos that like overwhelm and oppresses and scares a lot of people. Brian Mitchell said, chaos also feels like a lot or like a lack of stillness and silence. It's probably the complete opposite of that.
Yeah, so, I would agree with that. No meditative mind there. Go ahead, Jen.
Yeah, so internal chaos, it sounds like. And then we also have potential external chaos. Like Anthony, you were saying, you know, my house could be a mess, but I could be calm and peaceful and serene. Which is not typical, but it could happen.
I'm sure there's people out there who don't mind just existing in chaos when it's not really a priority of them. Brooke raises her hand.
I can do that. I can exist in chaos. I absolutely can.
But
I'm fully capable of it.
When people refer to chaos, it's sort of a negative connotation. It's a real disorder in a person's emotions regarding chaos, and probably something that should be avoided, or it scares people, or even like the fear of future chaos is enough for people to like try to be orderly and neat and organized, like myself. I try to preempt chaos by being orderly with some things. You can't see the rest of my house right now, but it is a little chaotic, so I'm failing in that regard. Jerome, what is chaos to you?
I think you guys got it. I would say personally, I kind of correlate it with anxiety being induced. If I'm getting anxious, I feel like that is the start of chaos. I'm starting on that road to chaos. So I think I correlate anxiety being induced and chaos very, very closely. But there's so many different ways that chaos can occur. It's really hard, I think, to give one specific example that I think covers it generally. There's a bunch of different scenarios I can imagine where chaos could happen.
I want to throw in a key word I think is good for the concept of chaos. It's also confusion, where if you live in a messy house, it might be completely disordered, but you might not be confused as to where everything is. Like, you might know in your head everything
sometimes, has a place. Sometimes the organizer can't find anything. I'm like, I could find it all before. Now I have no idea where I put it.
Whereas if you're a third party going to Brooke's house, you might see chaos because it's confusing to you and it's disordered. Picking on Brooke a little bit, but Jerome, just, you don't have to type this. Ask it in real life.
I'm curious. What is that called? I know there's like a term for it. Organized madness.
Yeah, I just had it in my head because I was going to bring it up, and now because you asked, I cannot think of it.
I would say madness or organized chaos is probably something akin to complexity. Mm-hmm. Something that is seemingly chaotic or just difficult to understand, but there is sort of rules underlying it. You just need to take the time to learn the rules, and then it becomes less chaotic.
There's a bunch of kids hanging out in a park. Organized chaos. That's what it's called.
That reminds me of my dad. He'll get upset at my mom for cleaning. If he's got his little organized chaos going on or organized madness.
Touch my organized chaos. Don't you dare.
She puts everything in order. Well, quote unquote, the general, I guess, closer to the general definition of in order. But he thinks it's out of order now. It's, you know, this is his madness.
I think we're preempting the conversation a little bit to like the productive parts of chaos. We got to stick to the chaotic parts of chaos. So what in our clients, I guess, as coaches, why do they fear chaos, or why are their lives so chaotic? I don't know.
I would even say, I would like to talk about how, well, maybe it's something we talk about later, how we can deliberately utilize chaos. Like, because I firmly believe that utilizing it is something that, when introduced in the right situation, can generate creativity and cause people to think about outside of the box. And I feel like it can be a tool when used correctly. I think it can be a fantastic tool. I think of brainstorming sessions that we used to have, and you get in there in the brainstorming sessions and you get the technical folk who are like there, and they're very like rule based. They're like, we're not bringing that here. This in here is anything. And we're not asking how, we're asking what. And like, we're not asking why, we are going to just get creative and just say, okay, if we want to go to the moon, wearing polka dot costumes, anything. But the idea is it creates this sort of freedom. Like it gives you that free, I guess alleviates you of rules. So that then you can get creative and start to think outside of the box and start to think beyond what you know.
Yeah, I mean, in that sense, people are also often stifled by their habits or the rules that they just go on with. People who are clients for coaching, they might have an issue with the rules they've been following for so long have really gotten them nowhere. And this can be, you know, your personal life. This could be part of your business. There needs to be some sort of change that happens to the habits or the rules for any sort of growth to happen. And that is what is called disruption. It was just down below quickly, but that's what most people would call a disruption. Not like a distraction or an interruption, because that is like maybe a speed bump in an already established process. We're talking about a total change in the way you think about doing something. And for example, a recent and probably overstated example that we're all familiar with is COVID-19. That was a major disruption in people's lives. And we didn't return to the old normal. We adapted to a new normal. in a lot of ways. I would have probably never imagined working a remote job before COVID. Now, I'm probably never not going to work a remote job. That wasn't even a thought before COVID-19 happened. And now there's a new way that people live their lives because of that disruption chaos. So
yeah,
one example of how disruption is beneficial.
Yeah, I want to say with that kind of sticking to the whole concept of COVID-19 disrupting our normal lives, I would say for me personally, they've got, I think a lot of us, I think, are a little bit more cleanly after COVID-19 having happened. I didn't used to use hand sanitizer as often as I do now, but now after I open my car door, I'm using hand sanitizer. After I use a water fountain or something like that, you know. So that, I think, is a productive instance where, you know, disruption goes ahead and again creates that productivity and makes things better.
There was a quote in one of the papers, articles, like we were sitting there reading a paper.
That's total disruption.
I went really old school for a second. And it said, the quote was, "Disrupt yourself or someone else will." And I thought that was so interesting to think about in terms of, like, if you're not preparing and disrupting in your own life and you get stagnant and stale and stuck, someone else, something else is going to come in, and that disruption that is caused by someone else is going to be very chaotic versus potentially more of like a engineered chaos that you can use and create momentum with and creativity.
Disruption is kind of like a big buzzword and things like that. I took a course at Harvard Business Online called, something disruption. Oh, I forget what it was.
I feel like you've mentioned it before.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And the entire course was about disruption and utilizing disruption and how because you hear about these disruptors. Ultimately, Google was a disruptor when they first came around, and how, like, there are all of these companies that end up coming in and in little ways innovating, and doing that will shake established businesses, and often sometimes to the point that they're gone. Like, we don't see AOL anymore. We don't see, you know, these things. Boo, bye-bye. And that there is but there's very specific ways, and it's smart ways to disrupt, and to disrupt industry and to disrupt business, and the ways you can set yourself up to be disruptors and it's actually something, a business model that we have adapted in many ways is the fact that we are able to give our courses the way we give our courses allows us, we are not so established in this 10-month structure, in this big boom, 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 that we can't be adaptive, flexible, and disruptive. So we have, the way we present our product allows for us to be, as a company, disruptors, which is kind of awesome. So
we can withstand chaos a bit more than I guess the other companies because of it, because we're so modularized in a way, and we're so, our classes, you know, they happen in 3 days, and then certified as life coach, still the same content as the other things, it just happens in a shorter time, which gives us more flexibility in chaotic situations compared to, you know, the competition. We're tooting our own horn at this point.
It is, but I mean, truthfully, companies that are virtual in many ways are able to withstand chaos a little bit better because there isn't this, if you have people all over the world and in, you know, California, we've got a storm cover. Let's say, Jen, we're in Georgia. We've got a storm coming through. There's a tornado. Well, Jen may just be out for that day, but we've got people all over the country, everywhere else. So they're able to be there and fill in and boom, boom, boom. So it's, there's these benefits that allow us to withstand chaotic things like that, that are out of our control. And that is truly, I mean, weather is truly something that is chaos and out of our control in many ways. And little things like this that we have done and little allow flexibility. And I think that as we say this, I think that that is a big part of being successful in chaos, is being able to flex and bend. You think about in California, we have earthquakes, and because of that, our sky rises have to have flexibility. I think even in New York, they have to have flexibility. The sky rises, they do this, but if they didn't do this, they would crumble. So it's same with trees. They have to be able to bend in the winds, or the they break. And so a big part of success in chaos, because when you think about chaos, you think about that motion, you think about things flying around you. And what's going to do better? Somebody that's able to move in and around, or somebody that's standing rigid? And there's, I think the chaos is thriving in chaos. Flexibility is very important.
I don't want to get too morbid, and there's also, this is also probably
morbid? I'm going to get morbid all of a sudden. Oh, no. Morbid.
I haven't verified this as an actual fact, but I've heard that a reason why drunk drivers like survive crashes more often, because they're like so loosey-goosey, they're not rigid. And you know,
as a snowboarder, Brooke snowboarding with no little nip of peppermint 99 proof peppermint schnapps versus the Brooke that's just had, you know, just a little bit, not enough that it's gonna, but enough that you're like loosey-goosey, like a little bit, you know, like it's not like everything's loomed. I was such a better snowboarder, like it's such a different, and it's like it just takes that rigidness off a bit, and then it's like woo.
Now we are no way endorsing you should either drive cars or participate. Nope,
not at all.
But just saying. You know, there are people who are public speakers. One of the things they will talk about in public, a lot of them will give advice, the perfect amount of like, drink this much wine, like you know, it's not a full glass, it's not a, but just like, you're gonna drink X amount before you go up, and it's enough to get you to relax, but not enough to get you to be, you know, where you're gonna be.
That's why I drink every day at work.
Or you just you participate
at
Toastmasters, and Toastmasters allows you to perfect the ability to get thrown any kind of topic, and you weave your presentation with that as well. So there's other ways.
Oh, of course there's other ways, right? Of course there is. Of course. Coming from somebody who doesn't drink anymore, of course there is. I mean, I hardly, once in a blue moon, but I don't know. Now I'm hungover. When, like, I have the smallest amount of alcohol and
I don't know if this is ever even really actionable for our clients. We can't.
I don't know any of this. This is either.
Like, hey, drink a little bit.
That was a bit chaotic.
Okay, maybe not. Obviously, speaking in that particular scenario, but I think you can implement some chaos into your session. So I would say, kind of like an improv with your client, or playing out a scenario with your client. It's, you know, it can be similar to improv, where you're kind of putting them in a situation that may not be
role. In my head, though, I'm picturing, like, you know, the client's talking, and like all of a sudden, you pull out some weird toy for no reason and just set it, like, you just introduce chaos with no explanation.
Wait,
like,
Dan did this to me on a live when he was hosting me. He just started like drumming something. Oh, and I just remember thinking, what in the is going on? But it actually really helped. And I just, like, I don't know, I got centered, but that was chaos. Random chaos by him. That was
hilarious. We used to have these snowball things. They're not real ice or anything. They're cotton material, and so I could throw them, and they could catch it. And they had to answer something in the midst of that throwing, so that they could just start generating, while it's a kind of chaotic experience, but it was to generate some thought process on, you know, what they wanted to do or contribute.
Well, it probably
change or whatever.
I would imagine it would be harder for me to overthink things. It would be harder for me to filter if I'm simultaneously focusing on catching, like, you know, if I'm utilizing my motor skills.
Yeah.
Right. So I'm like having to think, and you're asking a question. I would imagine it would be a lot harder for me to mask or filter. And I'm just going to give you what comes to my mind quickly at that point. Which, I mean, I could see how that could be absolutely a beneficial tool for sure.
It's kind of like your coin toss that you do in the marketing section, where you're trying to help them just, you know, which way do you want to go with that?
I think that might be like the inversion of that. Like, there's chaos and confusion in like the decision a client should make, and Brooke forces the client to flip a coin, and in like physical, or not physically, but it's like a physical embodiment of like establishing some sort of order, where it's random, but it is ordered in some way. And then the client then decides afterwards, oh, I liked what the coin did, or I didn't like what the coin chose.
Yeah, it is. Yeah. They figure out what they really want.
Yeah. But, because they're either happy with it, or they're like, wait, I didn't want that. It draws out their truth.
This is kind of an important, I feel like this is more important than we might lead on, this like adding chaos into the coaching session. Because most schools that I know of, including ours, we provide a pretty structured organization of how a session should typically run. With our Go Learn model, you know, you got your greeting and the establishing a contract, the exploration, and then the closing. And it's all neatly in an hour. And it's good. It's a good product that we can teach people, because everyone's getting the same sort of standard ICF approved education, but it's kind of harder to teach client coaches how to be chaotic.
Absolutely. I think that what we do in many ways, one of the things that happens in it's so critical in our courses, and so critical with when we train our people, is that we want them to be able to encourage interactivity, encourage feedback, and encourage student participation. And truthfully, we have zero control over what those students are going to say or do. And so we are inviting chaos. But we are doing it in a very structured format. We're doing it, of course, we set some rules, we set some boundaries, set some safety, but we ask people to open up, we ask people to share. And what happens is we have trained our coaches to be able to maneuver and volley through whatever comes at them and bring it back to whatever it is we're teaching, which we get sometimes some weird, crazy off the wall things, and we gotta like, you know, but that's because we've got this basis of training that they're experienced. They know what to do in those situations. So I think that by virtue of us allowing for that interactivity, coaching in those sessions, even in the breakout sessions,
it's creative
between two people. Like, we have no control over what happens in those, but that's real life right there. Mm-hmm. We give them some structure to work in, but they really are also, that's where that magic happens, is that anything can come out. But I also think it's critical. So one of the things that I'm very much learning in the workout training I'm doing is you learn the structure, you learn the form first. Once you have that down, you have the freedom to be creative, right? And know that you're doing it in a way that is helpful and good. Like, I think I think that that's really important, is to know what your structure is, know the bounds within your working, and get really comfortable. And once you have that, that's start getting, have it. We give you Go Learn, but maybe it's go F and learn at some point because you've worked out a little bit that we're, you know what I mean? You don't have to be held to the structure. I think that there's something very beautiful about first knowing the rules and then knowing how to break them in a way that, that is productive.
Yeah. I would say that's one of the main differences for coaching 101 and 102. 101 is that foundation, we say it all the time, but then 102, and this is maybe a quick little plug, so if you haven't taken 102, maybe consider it. But 102, you get, whenever anyone calls into the office, and I'll speak to them and let them know 102 is a lot more creative. The facilitator, they're going to be playing around a little bit more. You have the ability to kind of flex in different spaces and play around, kind of like Brooke was mentioning, because you have that foundation already learned.
Really, that I think in the long run, it makes you, once you get those parameters, like y'all are saying, oh, the y'all came out. The idea is to be adaptable, which is what that chaos is, adaptable to what's going to work with that client within the given structure. I mean, there's lots of, I can think of many different ways that, you know, we were playing around with the idea of throwing that snowball. Why did we do that? I don't know. It was just fun. And it allowed for the client to get creative with what they were wanting to accomplish. There's other times the complete opposite was necessary. I had to not ask any questions, not ask anything, and just let the person figure out their brainstorming, and all I did was write things down. So there's that complete opposite of chaos where they had to organize their thoughts and get them out.
Mm-hmm. So we're sort of talking about introducing, I guess, a little freedom, right? I feel like this is a little bit freedom, and as somebody who's non-linear too, I think you have to address a little bit the concept of linear versus non-linear thinkers, because I imagine there are moments as coaches that people feel like they have chaotic clients, like clients that are all over the place. Mm-hmm. Clients that appear to be like, you know, and not focused. Or how do we manage that as a coach for the coach on their end, when you feel like maybe you're experiencing a client that feels chaotic and feels all over the place?
So I might say, especially if you're a newer coach, is that's the place where you take notes and keep track of what they're sharing with you. Because when you do present back, you're going to want to ask what the links are between the different presentations, because that interaction typically has something built on the other thing that they mentioned, and that's built on something else that they're mentioned, and their frame of reference and way of thinking has got to go down that path. And while if you are the linear coach, your job is still to keep track with the nonlinear person creatively disclosing to you what it is that they're trying to share. Just keep track. Ask them. Brooke, you have professed that you're nonlinear. How does it work for you when you get coached?
I confuse and annoy coaches.
So that's a coach who's approaching you and only sees chaos then.
I definitely, what will often happen is I get reminders. I definitely am one of those clients that's getting the check-ins. I'm getting it's something that's normal in my session for me to get checked in with, like, okay, we were over here, but now we're over here. Is this, and then most of the time I'm like, no, I know, we just go with me. Cause it's coming back around. Like I promise you.
So I had that, it wasn't a whiteboard, it's actually a piece of glass kind of thing, but that's where you write on the whiteboard up in front of them. Even if you're on a call, you just take notes in front of them even, so that they are seeing what they're saying, and it presents a logical path for people that need that style.
It's and it's so, I mean, like, I don't know. I'm so nonlinear that, like, it's one of those things where I have to go through 15 different access points in my head before I can even figure out what I'm feeling or what I want. And so, like, it's people, I was just asked recently in the moment, well, how did that feel? What did you think? I mean, how did it feel? Now, if you ask me, what did I think, I can answer. Yeah. But if you ask me, how did I feel? I'm like, oh, I'm smiling. So literally I said, I'm smiling. So I think that means I was good. I am happy. I think but I'm like, I'll know better how I feel later. And so that's what I said. It's like, I'll know better how I feel later. Like, but I think it was, I think I feel good. I think, yeah. Like, and it's, I think that people are, I just work differently. That's right. Like, that's how I process differently. And so, like, I have to go through several steps before I get to knowing how I feel about something or knowing how I there's just a network of interconnectivity that takes a while to maneuver through.
I can be chaotic in a session too. The question that always kind of reels me back though is, how is this connected to what you started with? There's always something that I'm missing, and that question always gives me the space to go, oh my God. And there's always something incredible there.
Mm-hmm. That's really what's cool. That's an awesome question too, is how is this connected to, because maybe it's something that is appearing chaos, maybe it appears that they're jumping, but there's a reason they got there.
Yeah.
And you would be remiss to just dismiss it as chaos.
Yes.
Like, oh,
can you say that five times fast? Remiss to dismiss.
But to just dismiss it as chaos, to just presume that somebody's mind is jumping from here to here and there's not a path between the two. Mm-hmm. So I think that would be, that is a good coach, the coach that asks about the path. And doesn't just assume that client's jumping around for no reason.
I mean, the clients who do have that issue are probably not needing coaching. They might need some other services.
Are you saying I need therapy? Is that what you're?
Well, no. I would say if literally the person's mind has like two or three or four or five topics that are just not connected. I mean, the people you experience in life probably aren't looking for coaching. But it's safe to the assumption then underneath that, it's safe to assume every client you come across, there are connections and they are.
Oh, you're saying like the ones that are they're genuinely like disconnected, genuinely
yes,
disassociated.
I'm talking about the
like,
genuinely disconnected.
You're talking about like true disassociation. Okay.
Yeah, like, that's why it's probably, we talked about.
You're killing me, Anthony.
But we talked about assumptions in a couple past lives a while ago. That is probably a safe assumption
in
for
past lives.
But that's a safe assumption to have, though, as a coach, is that whatever your client is saying, it is connected somehow.
Yeah.
And it's not going to be apparent to you because what is inside the client's mind might be totally understandable. You, the coach, totally, opaque. So you got to ask those questions. How is this connected to what you were saying earlier? How does this connect to your overarching goal?
And let's
and the client will usually enlighten you, and then work can be done.
And the coach that is presuming that their client is just being chaotic, what are we doing when we think that? We're judging.
I don't think that because I just need to pay attention. I don't go, oh, this person's chaotic. It doesn't cross my mind. I think I've been around because I tend to be more linear with how I operate, but I am around a lot of people who are nonlinear, and I think I've adapted pretty well into following what they're saying. And when I'm unclear, and to know that I'm unclear, it's not that they're unclear. They're very well clear. It's I'm unclear. And sometimes I'll even ask, that reflection, I'm hearing this. Is it important for me to know what the bridge is between the two of them? because sometimes it's not really important. It's what they're doing is sharing the information so they get underneath to the next level of what they really want to work on. So it depends as well.
Do you guys ever notice sometimes the client will actually go off in a completely different direction, and that is what the bigger awareness is that surfaces? And it was almost like what they started the coaching session with was something they thought they should focus on. And that other thing kind of comes in and just boom, blows it up.
And then the should focus on goes out the door at that point. Yeah. Absolutely.
I love those calls.
And that's freedom though, right? That's free. Like, we're allowing them freedom. I don't know why, and maybe it's something in me, and maybe it's because, you know, deep down in me, I have a rebel that loves rules and structure, but also loves the idea of being able to make my own rules and structure, but still have rules and structure. But because that's my brain, but I want them to be my own. And so, like, the moment I feel trapped, it's a thing. And then, I love the idea of, like, bringing our clients in and giving them that freedom. There's a freedom to being able to allow for some chaos. Yeah. I think that we are so rigid with ourselves a lot of times, or we're rigid with our thought processes. We're rigid with what we can and cannot do, that allowing for a little chaos allows for a little bit of creativity and flexibility. I feel like too, we connect to our whys a little bit in chaos, and what is important, even when it's like hard, like bad outside external chaos. I think a lot of times it brings a clarifying lens to, like, we can get stuck up in it for a bit, and then we have to, like, go, okay, wait, what is important? Yeah. And it sort of forces us to erect boundaries and focus on the things that are important to us when we're experiencing external chaos.
That one YouTube, it was a TED talk that I shared, the ending was that amidst chaos, purpose is what takes you out of it, or is like the antidote to chaos. And I thought that was just so interesting. Of course it is, purpose.
I think we've got our perceived purpose for a lot of things that we do, but in the midst of chaos, you have to genuinely, truly understand what matters to you, and you have to do it quickly. Yeah. So I think that does, just like Brooke was mentioning, it places a lens over.
Yeah. I picture this, like, you know, telescope flying through space. There's all these things flying around it, like, you know what I mean? But it's fixing on one thing, and that whatever that one thing is in that one moment of time is the most important, and that's where it's going. And so there might be chaos all around it, but it is finding its where it wants to go. And I think that's the very cool. I sometimes like a little chaos now and again. Less so the older I get, though. I think that happens with everybody.
I can say that I do. Or not.
You can't say that you do?
You don't like chaos?
No.
I would say if I know that I'm going into a chaotic situation, that might be okay. Like going to the theme park. That's fine.
Yeah, you like going to, like, theme parks or, like, concerts. Like, concerts are chaos.
I'm not aware of it. But if I wake up on a Monday, and just last Friday is a little bit chaotic,
yeah.
I'm not going to say I had the greatest of time. I will say, maybe, I think there is definitely some production there, because it gives me, again, a bit of a crash course as to how to proceed in that particular scenario if it ever happens again. So. It was productive, but I'm not going to say that I woke up and was hoping that things like that happened. So, some context, everybody, class was just a little all over the place. Zoom was being very technically hard-headed, so but yeah. We made it. And there was some productivity that came out of that. So,
yeah. Well, I think that's the inevitable result of chaos. As much as, you know, chaos theory tells us all things return to chaos, I feel like if we're living within it, at some point we have to find our way out of it, right? Like, at some point we have to return to a non-chaotic state to exist and exist in a productive way.
I thought the opposite sort of.
What? Tell me.
Well, I mean, speaking like philosophically, I think it's the opposite, where like people are constantly fighting against chaos and entropy, and you're always working towards being in an organized state. Now, I mean, if you want to get ultra philosophical, we could talk about the heat death of the universe and things like that.
Yeah, we don't need to do that.
in a microscopic level in people's day-to-day lives, you know, most people tend to want to go towards an ordered state. They want things to not be so chaotic, even though there are benefits of chaos. And I think that chaos is a good production engine of like experiences and character. Because if it was so highly ordered, there'd be no room for any, like, people wouldn't develop character. They wouldn't have meaningful experiences. They'd be very boring people.
Well, and learning happens in chaos too.
Yes.
Learning happens in chaos. Adaptation happens in chaos as well. But I believe the general tendency for people is, at least for the ones who want coaching done, is a movement towards order, a movement towards productivity, and away from chaos.
Essentially what I was saying, that we might have these like chaotic moments, but we are always trying to return to, we have to return to a productive space, right? We have to start, if we want to be healthy, functioning human beings that, you know, are able to work in a society, in any social construct of other existing human beings, we have to learn how to thrive in it. And that learning to thrive comes from understanding rules and structure and being able to utilize them to our benefit. But I think much in the way that we have talked about, what was it called? What was the one it wasn't breakability, where being anti-fragile. I think it's kind of similar to anti-fragility in the sense which, for those of you who don't know, anti-fragility is about introducing stressors into your life so that you're able to better handle the bigger little stressors, so you can handle big stress when it happens. So allowing for little stressors. And I think it's similar in this chaos thing, is allowing for small amounts of chaos so that you're able to thrive when the bigger moments of chaos come through. And they're almost interchangeable, right? The stressors and the chaos. I just don't think stress has to always be negative. Stress is often considered very negative. I don't think chaos always has to be negative. I think that we can have controlled chaos and productive chaos and creative chaos and allow for chaos to be a tool as well. So, Jen,
I have a question for everyone. I don't know if everyone can answer this, but I'm wondering what equilibrium or what something that's the opposite of chaos that you have in your life.
Homeostasis.
What equilibrium do you have in your life that was born out of chaos?
Everything.
What did Anthony say?
I said my job, the current job I'm working right now, was born from that. From COVID-19, but also from me just like disregarding, I'm outing myself a little bit, but just disregarding like school and university as like a structured way to go about, you know, my life, and just taking the first opportunity that came by in terms of career and then building something off of that. So probably some would probably advise against that move and say, go get your degree and go to school and finish everything, blah, 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 and then start applying for jobs. But I didn't do that. I took a risk and a chance and then made the opportunity work with the help of some people as well. But that is probably where I'm at right now, is born from chaos. What about you guys?
I could say in a sense, maybe the people that I care about around me, they're not necessarily bred out of chaos, but the selection of those people is bred out of chaos, because I know who I don't want to be around. That's not going to bring me muse. That's not going to give me my equilibrium. So I think in a sense, having gone through maybe some friendships or some relationships that weren't necessarily something that I completely enjoyed, wasn't good for me, taught me how to select the people that I actually care about and actually do belong in my life. So I guess that's one big one for me.
I have like a question. Like, well, it's interesting because this can get philosophical fast. But like the is randomness the same as chaos?
No.
And what? No. Okay. And then what? And I'm asking that question is opening a bag of.
Well, wait. How is it not? How is it not?
Well, that's opening the bag of worms.
I know I'm opening a bag of worms.
I'm doing Brooke a favor by just answering the question with my interpretation, which is no, and I will not justify it in any way.
Because I think chaos can have randomness.
What about
yes?
Can randomness be chaos, but chaos can be something other than random? Would that work?
Yeah.
Yeah. I think you can induce chaos onto somebody.
Nope. No further okay. Explanation.
All right.
Yes or no.
That's a good one.
But then there's a whole philosophical theory that nothing is actually random. So, yeah. which means nothing is. So if chaos is randomness, and randomness is not chaos, nothing can actually be born out of randomness. Anyway,
randomness and chaos is essentially just people's failure to understand the underlying aspects of whatever situation that they're in. You can't know everything.
Right.
And because of that, some things will appear to be chaotic and appear to be random.
But there may actually be order that we are not understanding.
Mm-hmm. Sure. But that's like you're getting into ontology.
Yeah, that's what I meant. This is why I was like, it's a big bag of worms.
But if I'm of the thought that it's that, then it's got to still be that, even if on the logical terms that you're talking about, it has its order. But because I'm an emotional human being, it can still be random and chaotic to me, even if it's.
And I'm totally, it's also something I'm over. I mean, we go back to Jen's question, which is there anything in our lives that is stable and normal? And I would say everything in my life. Like, I mean, if I think about because I feel like everything has been a series of me maneuvering through what appeared to be chaotic or what I didn't understand or what I was trying to figure out and then finding my way and finding what worked for me and finding the path. So like, I feel like my entire life was born out of chaos, like, and my entire structure, even when I say I want to learn the rules and the structure so that I can then know how to make my own and break them and make them and work within them in a way that works for me and maybe doesn't work for somebody else, but it works for me. And that to me is me maneuvering through chaos and finding my own structure and then holding on to it, because that's what brings me my balance and knows I'm okay and it keeps me sane. It keeps me but I feel like my entire life. So it's akin to like trial and error, right? I feel like everything I've done in life has been, well, let's test this out, see if it works. And then if it doesn't, never doing that again. And then on to the next thing. Series of trial and error or hypotheses and experimentation. So, which is kind of why I asked that randomness and chaos question, but I'll just
your go fault. Back to it.
the takeaway I got from that, and like we can start to do our takeaways now since we're running down on time, is when you are confronted with chaos as a coach or your client is confronted with chaos, that's the time where you get to experiment and explore and see what works. Because, you know, rules and order, you can always, you know, rearrange things in different orders and it's fine and dandy, but we're not talking about organization and order. We're talking about chaos. And there's a certain degree of uncertainty with that that doesn't allow for order and rules. So that's when you get to play productively and figure out things as you go.
I will also even further say that it's an opportunity, because if it, something is appearing chaotic, either for your client or for, it might be that there's a greater understanding to be had. It might be, just like you said, Anthony, there might be an order or a structure or something that you just don't understand yet, or your client just doesn't understand yet. So this seeing chaos might actually just be a big chance to learn something. And to realize, oh, there might be more that me, the coach, or the client doesn't understand yet. And so let's explore and learn.
Or it could be you, the coach, do see what that chaos is leading to, or the randomness is leading to, and you still are not responsible to save your client by giving them the answers.
Yeah. I think there's always something to learn from chaos. I think there's always something to take away from it, unless you're just wallowing in it and just allowing it to beat the crap out of you. There's always an opportunity to learn something from chaos. I think that's probably my biggest takeaway, I think, from this entire conversation is there's always something good that can come from it, even though, you know, initially it may not seem like a good thing at all.
Jen, final thoughts?
I think my biggest takeaway is that as a coach, if your client seems chaotic to you, you are potentially judging them. That could be their way of processing, and just to hold that space for them and help them connect the dots and allow them to have that process. Don't try to box them in and make them follow a rigid, you know, model or formula. Let them enjoy what they can learn from the chaos that only you are probably giving them the space to express.
And also, can we please introduce an off menu go effing learn that only only will be revealed when requested, upon request.
And for an extra $500.
What does the F stand for?
Or is it it's go FN. We did an F and an N.
Oh, funny.
Somebody's gonna take this really seriously and show something.
Right? I'll create it. I will get my little AI assistant to create go F and learn and
oh my gosh. We've gone off the deep end.
That's going to wrap it up today for our little chaotic live on Productive Chaos. Again, be sure to like, subscribe, comment, share, tell your friends about us. Watch us every Tuesday at 4 p.m. For our next topics. I don't know what we're doing for our next series for live.
Sure. I have an idea, but I want to run it by you guys first. So it's a surprise for next week.
It's a surprise for everyone.
We have Coaching 101 and Coaching 102, where you can get certified in 3 days in a non-chaotic manner, but you will learn how to handle the chaos of coaching controlled and productive. So,
well, I'd say we're a little bit chaotic in structure.
Well, behind the scenes, we're chaotic.
Okay, yes, behind the scenes.
We make it seem as if we know that we know what we're doing, but that's not all right. You guys.
Hey everyone, thanks for tuning in to today's episode. Once again, this is brought to you by Certified Life Coach Institute. We're an ICF accredited school who certifies our life coaches in 3-day online intensive courses. In addition to other podcast episodes, feel free to check us out every Tuesday at 4 o'clock p.m. Pacific Standard Time on YouTube or Facebook for our CLCI Lives, where we get together and discuss various topics that are centered around sharpening your skills so you can become a better certified life coach. For more information, feel free to visit us at CertifiedLifeCoachInstitute.com. Until next time, be well.